These gospel verses today record the very beginning of the mission of Jesus Christ. He has now emerged from the shadows of his youth, and clearly this is a man of purpose and direction. He knows who he is. He knows what his life is for and what he should do with his gifts. He's focused, he's consistent, and he's clear with his life. We never get a sense in Luke's gospel that Jesus is the least bit self-conscious, that he ever doubted what God asked of him and what direction his life should take with the choices that he faced. He was always clear and motivated. Now, these are not qualities that are unique to Jesus. They're not qualities that he possessed because he was someone special in the divine plan, making life easy for him. These are human qualities that Luke proposes should be found in anyone who wants to be a disciple of Jesus and follow him. Yet the truth is, we see people all the time, and every one of us knows someone or a couple of people who just don't seem to get it. People who simply can't seem to figure out who they are, where they're going in life, or what to do with the gifts they have, and many of them are richly blessed people. Some of them think they're here to look good. Many of them spend a lot of life then keeping up with the latest fashions to stay in style. Many others think they're here to be successful in business. But all the while, they're empty. And there's some nagging feeling in them that this is not really right. They go around in shallow circles, lonely and uncomfortable with themselves, and fearful that this might be all there is to life. This cannot be so with disciples of Jesus Christ. They know who they are. They know where they're headed. They know what to do with their lives, and they know what their gifts are and how to use the opportunity that God provides for them to use those gifts. They find those things where Jesus found them, in the faithful observance of their religious tradition. That's where you find them. So they are a people who are in church. They're a part of that church's life, so much so that they might be called upon to do something just as Jesus was in this gospel. He was called upon to read that day. He wasn't a stranger in that synagogue. He wasn't passing through. And most of all, notice today, he knows the scriptures. He knew exactly where to find the prophet. He knew that passage. He didn't just let the book fall open. He wasn't playing, as we call it today, scriptural roulette. He opened the scroll to the prophet. He knew where to find that prophet, and he knew the passage that focused his life and expressed God's will for him. It seems to me, in the grand scope of Luke's writings, there develops a parallel in which he reveals something about Jesus and at the same time something about the church as the community of believers. In other words, if Jesus does it, so does the church. If Jesus says it, so does the church. So today we hear Jesus putting forth his agenda, which then is the agenda of the church. And it has to be the agenda of every one of us. The work of Jesus began with the descent of the Holy Spirit at his baptism. And the work of the church begins with the descent of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. First, the Spirit guides and directs the work of Jesus. Then the Spirit guides and directs the work of the church. What we must discover in Luke's gospel is that the work of Jesus is not just spiritual. And it's not something for some far-off time in the future. What he does is for the present. What he comes to do is for now. The liberation and the setting free he came to accomplish was for more than that future kingdom of God. Those he touched, they didn't have to wait until heaven before they could see, before they could hear, walk, or be clean. Those who came in faith were saved by that faith, not later, not in heaven, but right then. And their joy and their praise and gratitude didn't have to wait either. So the agenda of Jesus is for the whole person. And the liberty and release he came to accomplish came to mean the forgiveness of sin and all its consequences and all of its manifestations. If he came to confront the sin of injustice, then the consequences of injustice had to be eliminated. If he came to release those who were held bound, then everything that held them bound had to go. If they were held bound because they were sick, the sickness had to go. Luke makes it clear that this ministry of salvation affected the whole person, body and soul, mind and spirit. If it was so for Jesus, then it's got to be so for us as well. Sharing the same spirit, then we share the same agenda. We're liberated, and we become the liberators. We're saved, and we share the message of salvation for all. We, the forgiven, become the forgivers. Now, if I were to step down and hand any one of you the book of the scriptures, I want to know something. Could you open this book and find the place that is for you an expression of God's will? A passage that gives your life purpose and meaning and direction? If not, why not? And when? The desire to imitate Jesus concerns more than morality and doing good. It has to imitate his whole life, which was about fidelity to his religious traditions. He didn't just go to the temple or the synagogue on the high holy days. He was there every time they assembled. No matter where he was, he went to synagogue. He had a firm knowledge of the Word of God. This behavior on his part was the source of his goodness as a human being. And that's where he discovered who he was and what his life was all about. And it's where, best of all, he discovered what he ought to do with his gifts.